PJMPC/Teak Briefs, July 8, 2025, written by Devin Leith Yeshin, and read by an automated voice. Planning Committee. Stakeholders endorse POI jurisdiction changes. The Planning Committee endorsed by acclamation a PJM proposal to rework how it determines the jurisdiction a resource point of interconnection, or POI, falls under in an effort to designate more low-voltage facilities as being under state jurisdiction. The proposal would establish a bright line test where resources interconnecting to facilities below 69 kilovolts would be designated state jurisdictional and required to obtain a wholesale market participation agreement, or WMPA. Higher voltage POIs would be required to receive a generation interconnection agreement, or GIA. There also would be a backstop mechanism where jurisdiction could be assigned regardless of voltage depending on how the transmission owner, FERC, or relevant electric retail regulatory authority has defined the cost recovery method. The current first-use paradigm designates the first resources interconnecting to a distribution facility to participate in PJM's markets as state jurisdictional, and all subsequent interconnections as falling under federal jurisdiction. If the proposal had been implemented when the WMPA pathway was first established, PJM Associate General Counsel Thomas DeVita said about 12-15% of projects that received an interconnection service agreement, or ESA or GIA, would have gotten a WMPA instead. During the June 3 first read on the proposal, DeVita said the aim of the proposal is to focus the GIA process on more complicated applications to high-voltage facilities which take a greater number of staff hours to study, while continuing to have visibility into distribution-level interconnections. PJM Vice President of Planning Jason Connell said system impact studies for a generator pursuing a WMPA are completed by electric distribution companies rather than the RTO and produce a simpler agreement for it to process. First read on ELCC manual revisions. PJM's Josh Bruno presented a first read on revisions to PJM Manual 21B, PJM Rules and Procedures for Determination of Generating Capability, to codify FERC's approval of a proposal the RTO filed to establish two new resource classes for accreditation under the Effective Load Carrying Capability, or ELCC, process. The changes add the oil-fired combustion turbine and waste-to-energy steam classes as discrete categories for resource accreditation, starting with the 2027-28 base residual auction. Oil generation was included in the miscellaneous other unlimited resource category, while waste-to-energy was modeled under steam generation. Following the March 19 Markets and Reliability Committee meeting, Bruno told RTO Insider that breaking oil combustion turbines out as a separate class allows PJM to better capture the types of correlated outages that tend to affect them and provides the ELCC modeling with more performance data than if each unit was looked at individually. PJM recommends sunsetting relay testing subcommittee. PJM's Stan Sliber presented a first read on revisions to the relay subcommittee, or RS charter, to sunset the relay testing subcommittee and include its activities in the RS. The proposed language also would clarify who is able to participate in the RS, which is limited to members who have signed the operating agreement and are transmission or generation owners in PJM. Transmission Expansion Advisory Committee. Update on 2025 RAE TEP Window 1. PJM has published an addendum to the problem statement and study files for its 2025 Regional Transmission Expansion Plan Window 1, which opened for developers to submit solution proposals on June 18, with an August 18 deadline. An additional scenario was added to the 2032 base case, modeling the expected bulk transfer if offshore wind developments in New Jersey and Delaware are not completed. Removing the generation from the modeling resulted in overloads on the South Bend Keystone 500 kV, Keystone Conemaugh 500 kV, Conemaugh Juniata 500 kV, Brighton Dew 500 kV, Keystone Juniata 500 kV, and Birches Hill Possum Point 500 kV lines. Removing the offshore wind also resolved overloads on the Rock Springs Brahma 500 kV line and Peach Bottom 500 kV bus identified in other scenarios. PJM's Wenzhang Chu said removing the projects increases power flows from west to east and from south to north, which will be considered in evaluating the robustness of projects submitted in Window 1. PJM also updated the Window's problem statement to reflect that no major regional transfer issues were identified in the 2030 base case. However, several high-voltage overloads were found in the 7-year case. Staff chose not to include clusters with overloads on the A1 to 125 Marysville 765 kV line and the 765 kV corridor between Wilton Center and Marysville due to the lines being limited by equipment. Multiple overloads on the 500 kV network in the Mid-Atlantic Area Council region also were not included, as they are not present aside from the scenario removing the offshore wind developments. PJM did include a pair of overload clusters in the Columbus, Ohio, region where N-1-1 analysis found widespread local system voltage issues expected to worsen with load growth forecast to continue beyond the 7-year horizon. Overloads on the 138-kilovolt and 115-kilovolt networks ATSI along the East Springfield-Melissa-London corridor were included. Supplemental projects. Duke Energy presented a $186 million project to serve a customer planning to bring 800 megawatts of load to Butler County, Ohio, by 2030. It would proceed in four phases, starting with tapping into the Miami-Fort Woodsdale 345-kilovolt line to provide initial service for about 300 megawatts of load. The first phase will be paid for by the customer. Next, Duke will build a 345-kilovolt substation, named Wayne Madison, at the customer's location to be looped into the Woodsdale-Miami-Fort line. It will be looped in with about 1 mile of new transmission at a cost of $40 million for the second phase, which is envisioned to be complete by the end of 2028. The third phase involves building a new cut-and-run substation cutting into the Miami-Fort West Milton 345-kilovolt line and connecting to Wayne Madison with a new 5.5-mile 345-kilovolt circuit. The third phase is estimated to cost $45 million and to be done by June 2029. The project will complete with the rebuilding of the 138-kilovolt Port Union Todd Hunter double-circuit line to upgrade one side of the line to 345-kilovolt, with corresponding equipment installed at Port Union. This phase is estimated to cost $101 million and be complete by the end of 2030. First, Energy presented a $344 million project to rebuild its 69-mile Samus Star 345-kilovolt line due to the tower's failing wind and ice load tests. It has 22 wood pole H-frame and 375 steel lattice towers along its length, and a tornado left 13 towers destroyed in a cascading failure. The project is in the conceptual phase with a possible in-service date of May 30, 2031. The utility presented another three projects to repair lines experiencing degradation and end-of-life issues. A $74 million project would rebuild 14.5 miles of the Niles-Shenango 345-kilovolt line, repairing wood poles and reconductoring. A $53 million project would replace 33 steel towers along the double-circuit 345-kilovolt corridor between the Beaver Valley, Hanna and Mansfield substations and reconductor about 13.5 miles. A $21 million project would rebuild elements of the Bayshore-Davis-Bessie 345-kilovolt line. Dayton Power and Light presented several needs to serve new customers across Ohio. Some of the load is expected to begin coming online in the next few years, scaling to about 1.6 gigawatts by 2030. PPL presented a need to serve a customer seeking 230-kilovolt service for 1.5 gigawatts of load near Goldsboro, Pennsylvania. The customer is expected to come online in 2027, drawing 300 megawatts and scale to its full consumption by 2030. SCC presented a $27 million project to reduce network strain on the Newark switching station by installing two 233 of a kilovolt transformers at the nearby McCarter switching station and transferring several circuits to that facility. The project is in the conceptual phase with a possible in-service date in December 2029. Dominion presented a $54 million project to rebuild three lines nearing the end of their useful life: the 30-mile Chesterfield-Lenexa 115-kilovolt line, 14.6-mile Chesterfield-Chickahominy line, and 14.2-mile Chickahominy-Lenexa 230-kilovolt line. The Chesterfield-Lenexa line would be built to 230-kilovolt standards but operate at 115 kilovolts, while the other two lines would remain rated for 230 kilovolts. Equipment at the substations also would be upgraded. The project is in the engineering phase with an expected in-service date of December 31, 2028. Several stakeholders requested that TOs presenting supplemental projects intended to serve large loads specify whether those consumers have been submitted to PJM as large load adjustments to its annual load forecasts.